let's go forth with the lesson tonight. Lent Matters, Part 3. Lent Matters, Part 3. This is the second part of the lesson I started last week. Some truths about suffering. Some truths about suffering. Same passage, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that comes on you to test you, as though something strange is happening. But rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, for the Spirit of God and the glory of God rests on you. If you suffer, you should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Some truths about suffering. Let me just pick up where I left off on last week by saying this. God uses persecution and suffering for our good. 1 Peter 1 and 7 talks about the trial of our faith being more precious than gold that perishes. Though our faith is tried with fire, it may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God uses persecution and suffering for our good. The only way you know if something works is to test it. Our faith, you know, in order to be displayed as faith, has to come under attack. I'm doing an emission test on my Genesis 2019. Every 4 years, you know, you get that card from the Secretary of State telling you to bring it in. And when I take it in before the end of this month, they'll rev up the engine to see if the emission system is working properly and within the guidelines. That's the way faith has to be tested. Our faith has to be revved up. If it's not, then it won't pass the test. Consequently, the Lord will allow events and experiences come into our life that will help us to know if we are indeed operating within spiritual guidelines, and at the same time building us up to be more like him. Your faith has to get revved up. It has to come under attack. How do you know how you will act when attacked if no one comes against you? How do you know you trust him for healing if your health never fails or if your health is never challenged? So God uses suffering for our good. Here's another truth. A disciplinary judgment comes to purify the lives of those in the family of God. There are some lessons we experience because of the pain and suffering we endure. There are some lessons. God won't ever have to allow those lessons to happen again because we got it the first time. Remember that one good old school whipping you got as a youngster? with the switch or with the belt, it still has lasting memories. You survived it. It purified you in a manner of speaking. It led you to the resolve that you would never do that transgression again. Experience was an effective teacher under the auspices of a loving and merciful parent who applied the switch, the belt. And likewise, God allows suffering to help us get past the points in life that would stall us. And he's so convincing in using suffering that he doesn't have to do certain things over again. Here's another truth. Don't confuse suffering as a saint, Christian suffering, with suffering that is the consequences of one's sins. Verse 15 says, let no one suffer as a murderer, a thief, or evildoer, or as a busybody in other folks' matters. If we be honest, we know why certain events and experiences are happening in our lives. It's unpleasant reaping of some ungodly sowing. Let's not just apply the principles of sowing and reaping to our giving. Let's apply it to our misconduct. Don't blame God. Could it be the reaping that we are seeing because of the seeds of sinful decisions we've made? Say, if you're suffering rejection, check out how you treat folks. Maybe you're having financial difficulties. Check out your giving record. Maybe even if you're having an emotional moment, see who you're allowing to get into your inner space. 1 Timothy 5:13 says, don't be busybody. Don't be gossiping. Don't be meddling in other people's affairs. So instead of reaping the harvest God promises me as it relates to good things and blessings, maybe I'm reaping the harvest God promised me as it relates to my conduct, my conversation, and my character. So know that about suffering as a Christian. Don't confuse it with consequences of one's sinful ways. And then here's the last matter I want to share. Christian suffering makes us more like Jesus. It is suffering for Christ's sake that draws us to him and conforms or develops us to his likeness. And those verses where you see the phrase at his appearing, it's just reminding us that when he comes back, we shall see him as he is, because we will be like him. All that you're going through is part of the holy makeover. It's not just a holy makeup, but it's the matters that the Lord is using to make us look just like him. And yet, regardless of what we endure for his name's sake, our sufferings have not been unto death. I mean, when you talk about suffering that leads to death, you have to look beyond the picture of what happens in our modern comfortable environment. You want to talk about suffering that leads to death? Look at how the apostles were insulted by enemies of the master. Matthew suffered martyrdom and he was slain with a sword in Ethiopia. Mark was cruelly dragged through the cities of Alexandria. Luke was hanged on an olive tree in Greece. John was put in a cauldron of boiling oil, but escaped death in a miraculous manner and was afterwards banished to Patmos. Peter was crucified at Rome with his head downward. James was beheaded at Jerusalem. James the Less was thrown from a lofty pinnacle of the temple, then beaten to death with a club. Bartholomew was flayed alive. That means he had the skin pulled off of him. Andrew was bound to a cross. Thomas was run through his body with a lance in the East Indies. Jude was shot to death with arrows. Matthias was stoned and then beheaded. Barnabas was stoned to death at Salonica. Paul was beheaded at Rome. Now, you want to talk about suffering unto death? Look at the apostles, and there we think that we're having it hard just because I've been lied on, I've been cheated, I've been talked about, I've been mistreated. Hallelujah. Christian suffering makes us more like Jesus. Anything and any time we suffer for Christ's sake, it's not a penalty. It's a privilege. That word Christian, each time it's used in the verses read, it's used in the context of commendation. These believers would not compromise or straddle the fence. Remember what I told us last week, that the persecution they endured, the sufferings that they bore, families killed in front of their face because they wouldn't say Caesar is Lord. They were fed to the lions. They saw their children torn asunder because they wouldn't quit saying the name Jesus. Some of them were tarred alive and lit as lampposts. Suffering is not a penalty. It was a privilege. In chapter 3, verse 14, even if you suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Blessed. Not that it is not hurting the flesh. Not that it is not causing me to cry. Not that it is not aching my body. But blessed because it's a high honor and a privilege. I'm not being like Jesus driving a luxury car or living large, but I'm being like Jesus when I can smile at my adversary. I'm being like Jesus when I will go out of my way and share with the people that don't want to see me succeed. You're being like Jesus when you can shake off the little rolling of the eyes and the little snarls that people give you and still serve the Lord with gladness. You're being like Jesus when you get up on Sunday morning and say, I'm going to press my way regardless of the aches in my body. I am more like Jesus. Say that. I'm more like Jesus when I am enduring for his name's sake. And then remember, the symbol of Christianity is not a mink, it's not a mansion, it's not a MasterCard, it ain't even a Mercedes. The symbol of Christianity is a cross. Hallelujah. And so, those are just some truths about suffering. Amen. This is the word of faith which I teach. Some truths about suffering. So tag this lesson on to last week's lesson, and you'll get a fuller picture of what it means during Lent. Identify with the suffering of Jesus Christ.